The topic for the next hour, VoIP. That's voice over IP. That means phones without phone lines, non-cell phones, that is. Confused yet? You will be, because it's Friday, October 7, 2005, 10:06 a.m. on the central coast of California.
Geek Speaks podcast and website are brought to you by GNI, a full-featured web hosting facility that provides co-location services and high-bandwidth connectivity. More information about GNI is available at www.gnihosting.com.
And it's time now for Geek Speak. Welcome to Geek Speak, bridging the gaps between geeks and the rest of humanity. My name's Lyle Troxell. Please keep in mind the views expressed during Geek Speak are not necessarily those of KUSP. Today on our program, after a spot of geek news, we'll be talking with Greg Troxell from NetVelocities about voiceover IP. And right now, I'm going to do the show a little different today. We're not taking your phone calls and such. We are taking your emails, so you're welcome to join us with questions and comments. We'll be answering the last second half of the show. To do that, go to geekspeak.org and click on Contact Us. This is Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. In the air with me are geeks Sean Cleveland, Senior PR Marketing Manager for NetCell, and Drew Meyer, who is not the storage specialist at Adaptec anymore, but instead, Drew, you start on Monday your new job. What is it?
I will be a product manager at Network Appliance.
And Network Appliance does what?
Network Appliance makes industrial strength storage systems. They're one of the big, strong names in the industry.
You sound like an employee.
So give me a few hours.
So what does that mean? Like
It's still network attached storage and storage area networks or IP SANs, but it's for larger companies. They got their start about 10 years ago, and they rode the internet boom to great heights because there was such a demand for economical storage that was readily available over a network.
So basically, we're talking about large hard drive arrays with backup and redundancy and high speeds.
Yep.
Connected to a network so that a business can share one data source.
Exactly.
Backups, databases, files, whatever you have you.
And the benefit there is that I save my stuff there, and then you can go see it instead of having to wait for me to be on my computer or not even
an essential service, really, on a business with a lot of information management.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, thank you, Drew, for coming here, and I understand that this is your last show for at least quite a while. Your new job will not allow you to come in here and volunteer your time every Friday morning.
Well, it's
a lot of time.
Yeah, it's kind of the way most jobs work. I've been
lucky
so far.
It's been very hard to get reliable, great geeks to get in here on Friday mornings, and I appreciate you both for being here so much. Sean, you've been here forever, so thank you so much for coming in every
week.
I've
been here since, we took it over.
Yeah, exactly, and it's been great having you. And I'll let you start the news for today.
Oh, what an
honor. Congratulations.
It's never happened before.
So Gateway has introduced a 21-inch high-definition widescreen display. Okay.
Wait. 21-inch widescreen display.
Nothing special there, except this display has the Faruja technology.
What is Faruja?
Sounds like
a
city in Afghanistan.
So it's got pretty much the specs of any normal widescreen 21-inch display, 1680 by 1050 widescreen aspect ratio, 1,000:1 contrast ratio, so it's nice and sharp and clear. Well, maybe not sharp, but just nice and clear. The colors look really good, very saturated. The Faruja chip, this is a really cool technology. I've been into this chip for a while. I bought my father a Samsung DVD player with the Faruja chip. And what it is, it's this guy named Yves Faruja and a group of videophiles who invented this state-of-the-art video processing technology back in the 70s. And they made this chip that it does upconversion. So it does this special line doubling technology for high-definition television sets.
Okay.
So with the Samsung DVD player, you could take the regular 480i, which is the 480 lines of resolution interlaced, mm-hmm. it can turn that into 480p, which is progressive like a computer.
I see.
So every other line, instead of every other line
it's right
being refreshed, why you can't get close to a television because it's only happening 60 times a second and it hurts your eyes. Like a computer screen, it's progressive. It looks really nice. It can go to 720p all the way up to 1080i.
Nice.
And so the upconversion DVD player, and my
so
father and I did a head-to-head.
It's reading ahead of time and caching more data and sending more data to the computer.
I'm not quite sure how the chip works, but we took the regular DVD player and then had my father hook up the new one, and we watched it on his. He got a new DLP and a nice widescreen. I'm very jealous because I'm old. Podunk technology still TV. Anyway,
Podunk.
it's amazing what this chip can do. It made DVDs look like high definition, much better. So this is going to be built into Gateway's new widescreen flat panel display.
So
this 21-inch widescreen display, cutting edge with this new chip, and the price is going to be $599.
Oof.
Wow.
That's nice.
That's
so
cheap.
That's for television purposes, though, right?
No, this is your computer screen.
Computer screen. That's cheap.
This is your computer screen.
All right,
21-inch.
I'll have to get some LCDs, so
I'll
have to
do that. So you're about to buy one. This might be the one to go after.
Thank you very much, Sean, for that. Drew.
Well, let's see. Two things. This week, they're kind of related. So Rosetta at Home is the latest Berkeley Open Infrastructure for Network Computing application. And as you guys might remember, Boink is one of those the most successful distributed computing project where they borrow your computer processor cycles and process data for science in the background.
A screensaver that's doing work, basically.
Yeah, so while you're sitting there, you're powering your computer, it's doing something useful when you're not. Rosetta at Home is the name of it. It's a protein folding application run by the University of Washington. And I would say that these guys are a little marketing challenged because I have a hard time telling you exactly what it does. I know it's protein folding. But here's a little sample off of their front page on what the thing is. The procedure was used to design a 93 residue protein called TOP7 with a novel sequence and topology.
Oh, that.
See, naturally, everyone understands exactly what that means and what it does. So
I do a little of that at home.
Yeah. And the other thing, that I took a bunch of computers. Well, I had a little time off here between jobs. And you guys were kind enough to help me out. And I installed Linux on them. And I started running Boink in my garage off the solar panel. So I've now got 6 machines crunching numbers free for society, for charity, for science.
You did it.
I did it.
You succeeded.
I got them all running.
The solar panels, does that mean they're only running to the day? Or do you have a battery backup?
Just run during the day.
So that old hardware I gave you?
Now, do you have to manually turn it on?
It sits in the corner of the garage just running along, and I check on it once in a while.
But how does it boot up? I mean, at night they just die because...
No, they don't. Because the power comes from the power company during the night.
Okay. So you are doing a feedback into the system.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So it's solar powered during the day, I should say, and then the grid powers it during the night.
But during the day, you're not using all the power and some of the power from your...
Right.
So what's the website for this this folding technology?
So if you go to boink.berkeley.edu, that's the homepage for the Boink software, and then all of the other projects that actually run on it are listed from there. Climate prediction.
So this is kind of like SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, I think is what it is.
You got
life,
it.
I think.
So they're looking, they're taking radio signals. Yeah, to radio signals and crunching those down, trying to find life. But this is actually helping us here on Earth.
Yeah, somebody said to me, you know what, you could generate data, you could process data that really benefits mankind and humanity. And I thought, well, you know, searching for aliens is cool in the pure geek sense of the endeavor, but climate prediction is the one that I run the most of. Because I really think that might make a difference.
That makes sense. So you get to choose what kind of science project you're helping to support.
Yeah, you can run 5 of them at once if you want, and you can dedicate different amounts of time to how much you work on.
Do they tell you where this processing technology is going towards? I mean,
yes.
Which scientists, which universities, you know?
Yep. And most of it is universities. Climate prediction is, Rosetta is University of Washington, and there's another one called Predictor at Home. That's run by Scripps down south.
And do they actually let you know if it's helped?
Oh, absolutely. There's a report that just came out in the journal Science about the latest climate prediction results, which shows that they're getting more data crunched faster than they thought they would, and they're predicting, they're getting more results from their models than they thought they would, so it's more of a success than they planned.
Drew, thank you for getting us in touch with the cluster at home kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Sean?
I have one more news story, and this is more of a something I ran into that I think everybody should know about
mm-hmm.
if you own a TiVo.
So that small percentage that actually own TiVos, cool.
You know what? This is so cool that this might actually get people to go out and get one, because frankly, I can't imagine watching TV without one, personally. TiVo released their desktop 2.2, and I couldn't figure out when they released it, I use their desktop 1.0 software, and what it does is you've got Windows XP, you install this on your computer, you establish a connection to your TiVo Series 2. It's got to be a newer Series 2 mm-hmm. model, which has been out for about a year, year and a half. And what you can then do is push your pictures and your music to your TiVo, so you can listen to it on your home stereo or watch it on your...
Nice.
Well, this new desktop 2.2 software allows you to actually take your TiVo saved shows and copy them to your computer. And then from there, you can put them on various portable devices. They have tools
like
for doing
TV.
That, like Creative Zen, Samsung, Yep, iRiver. Supposedly, there are tools out there available that will convert it, so you can burn it to a DVD and make it a regular MPEG file. But right mm-hmm. now, it's encoded.
Right.
Digital rights management
mm-hmm.
involved, yeah. But on a Lark, because it establishes connection, I'm able to move files back to my computer, yet there's this folder in my recently viewed shows with my computer name. And I looked inside, and I could see the shows. And once I've copied the shows to my computer, I can actually stream them back to my TiVo and watch them again.
Ah,
pretty
uh-huh.
cool. I thought,
okay.
Hey, what happens if I drop a video file?
Something else from your computer.
And, yeah, from my computer. So I dropped an AVI, a QuickTime, a WMV, you know, MPEG 1, MPEG 2, the MPEG 2 file played.
Any of the other ones play?
So, no.
Okay.
So you'd have to convert those
right.
those formats, but... But you can take an MPEG 2 file. I mean, if you've got some videos or, you know, anything
can
in MPEG
network,
2
huh?
format, and you've got your TiVo connected up to your network, which is free service now, to the internet, you can actually push those to your TiVo and watch them on your TV.
Very cool. Thank you, Sean.
Yeah, pretty cool technology.
You're listening to Geek Speak. My name's Lyle Troxell. That was Sean Cleveland. Also in the air room is Drew Meyer. We are going into our topic at hand today, which is voice over IP from NetVelocity. You can get the URL and everything from geekspeak.org. We have Greg Troxell. Greg, welcome to Geek Speak.
Well, good morning, Lyle.
Now, there is a relation between myself, Lyle Troxell, and Greg Troxell. Our fathers are brothers. So there you go, my cousin. Greg, welcome to Geek Speak, and I appreciate you coming out. I know you're a busy guy running a pretty successful internet and IP company. So let's talk a little bit about what you do in the Central Valley, which is where you're physically located, though you've got this voice over IP service which works anywhere in the world. What's the traditional model that you started with the company?
Traditional model of the company, NetVelocity, started as a wireless broadband company. So we're serving a region called the West Side, which is part of the Stanislaus-San Joaquin Valley.
Uh-huh.
Wireless broadband, you mean like Cruzeiro?
You mean, what do you mean by wireless broadband? Meaning you're blanketing towns, or how does it work?
Yes, this functions in a 2.4 or 900 megahertz. It is like Cruzeiro in that regard, where they function in wireless world, and it's fixed wireless broadband is really what it is, which pushes the last mile, allows for rural connectivity, hillsides. We cover a very large region, 8 towns, and go back as deep as 30 miles into the hills of the area that lies between Santa Clara County and the Central Valley.
Okay. So basically, you've got mountaintop transmitters and receivers, and then you get a special unit in your home, and as long as you've got a line of sight or even some small coverage, you can get a good internet connection that way.
With no wire run to your house.
Is that...
No wires run to your house. That's correct. In a small transceiver, the 2.4s, we are using Motorola canopy equipment,
mm-hmm.
and the 2.4 is about the size of your forearm, elbow
okay.
to wrist. The 900 is about the size of your laptop computer, and it sits there at the eave of your house, and then that is directed, yes, to one of the transmitters, one of the
transmitter
towers.
Receiver things. So it's not the roaming kind of Wi-Fi that we're used to going into a coffee shop. This is a finish-the-distance kind of connection.
Exactly.
Pretty common in a space where you have rolling hills and that kind of thing. It doesn't really work in high-density forest, for example.
It's not ideal. It's not ideal application in high-density cities, suburban areas, mm-hmm. predominantly because the infrastructure is already there.
Right.
It's,
you already have your phone lines that can handle DSL and stuff.
Expensive dollars.
But this works great when you're outside the range of DSL and your cable company hasn't provided broadband.
And when you're fed up with satellite.
And satellite doesn't work. Satellite never has worked. I mean, it's always been kind of the fringe of functionality. And now, Greg, we're going to try to get, I think, Bill, one of your techs,
yes.
is going to call us in, and I'm going to go ahead and patch him in. We'll do that as soon as he calls us in. If you want a BlackBerry, go ahead and tell him to call us. That'd be fine. He can join us. But I've got a lot more to talk to you about, so I'm not totally pressed on getting your tech in. I know it's nice to have a real, you know, geek in your pocket on answering some of these questions. But
I'm surrounded by geeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Really, right now, I'm feeling very challenged.
Don't worry about it. It's fine. You're also surrounded by a lot of music, too. So, okay, so, Greg, the voiceover IP is a perfect offering to your customer base that's using the Wi-Fi of that nature. They don't have to have any communication lines plugged into their house. They've got a broadband connection, and then you offer, if you've got internet protocol in your house, a router, and other people can use it with cable modems and DSL, you plug in a system that translates that data to basically a phone line, and you use a phone. That's voice over IP in a nutshell, if you will.
That's right.
You downloaded it for us when you got in here today. The other geeks didn't really see it. Shiny didn't get to see it, but basically pulls a desk phone out of his bag and has an Ethernet cable instead of a phone line cable on, and a power supply, a little wall wart. And we plug it into a network off a network here, some little private router that's running at someone's desk, and it boots up a screen. It says it's loading. It got a DHCP IP assigned, DHCP assigned address. I know that's kind of redundant. And then it connected up and registered, if you will, the hardware, and picked up the phone, and it had a dial tone.
No kidding.
And it was your dial tone. I mean, it was your phone.
It was your phone
plugged in the other room.
What did it connect to? There's no VoIP telephony equipment in this building.
No, but because it's a SIP-based piece of hardware.
Sorry, what?
The SIP is session-initiated protocol. It already has the adapters built into this desk phone. And there are a number of different companies out there. We happen to use Polycoms.
I know. I've used Cisco in my other work environments.
Yep.
Now, Drew, basically you're saying you could have a voice over IP network in here where basically digital desk phones, were pretty common in workplaces where you plug into this proprietary network and the phone operates in a certain way. That's really kind of voice over IP local. And what you're saying, Greg, is that the technology that would normally be in like that main infrastructure hub that would require you to run dedicated lines. Instead, all that data is just in the machine, and included in the machine is a normal TCP/IP chip, and basically you have everything you need in that one phone.
It is all there.
And so if somebody were to call you on your personal number at that moment, your phone would ring and you could pick it up.
It's going to ring right here at Santa Cruz, at your station. Matter of fact, I'm at a four-digit extension throughout my company, and so they can four-digit dial me right here.
In the company?
They right
four digits.
Because it's a hosted PBX. That's very different than what you're used to.
Whoa, PBS?
PBX. Sorry, yeah.
What is that, personal branch exchange? Is that what that is?
Yes.
Which means like a telephone company piece of equipment at your location?
Correct. And normally companies... in the IP or the protocol that's been going on for VoIP for the last 5 years, Cisco that you mentioned, it is using a piece of hardware here at your physical location, which then has its own set of limitations, how many phones can actually get plugged in and all of that. In our world, because it's removed from the physical location of the office and it's hosted there at a SuperPOP, it is then able to be
accessible from anywhere.
Anywhere.
Okay. Well, let's get this into the realm of, I mean, all the geeks in the room, we totally know what's going on now, but let's get to the reality of this. For the person that's got a broadband connection at home, it means that you can buy a piece of hardware and a service from you, plug that into your network, and not pay phone charges anymore to the phone company, but instead to you.
So why is this better than my cell phone?
Well, a couple things. Your cell phone, if you're like...
Other than coverage, I take that
coverage
back.
Coverage area. I was just about to go
the no-brainer,
there.
Huh? Okay.
I happen to use Nextel. At my desk, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But if I step out into the hallway, then it works just fine.
Sure.
But I do have to be connected to...
Internet.
An ISP somewhere.
You have to have a broadband connection. And what we, personally, for our platform, and every carrier is different of VoIP... But for ours, we really recommend having a 256 connection.
Yeah.
If you've got that, then you're solid. You can do your data. So if you're not downloading your videos and
now you're at the same time, right? So you got to kind of proprietary that. Is there hardware that says, "Oh, voice over IP is happening. Let's slow down the network traffic." Is that kind of thing available?
Yes, you can certainly do that. We do that in our own network for our WISP.
So you kind of make a space available for your phone calls. The thing that runs into me is, like, I personally have DSL at home, so I've got to have a contract with my phone company, and they require that I have a phone number on that
too.
DSL line. So that pretty much takes me out of this being a nice feature in the sense of cutting costs. But it would work for cable modem people, people that have long-distance Wi-Fi like you're offering. And, of course, in, like, metropolitan areas where you have free wireless, as long as the bandwidth's good, it really works. Does it work for – is this something you try to push for DSL customers or not?
We do push it for DSL customers, particularly in areas where you're dealing with an incumbent local exchange carrier. Now, that's a type of telephone company.
It's like a swear word.
Yes, it really is. Those are those people that rook you for all the money and
right.
charge you extreme amounts for long distance, and you only have, you know, one town, 7 miles radius mm-hmm. that they cover for local calling. Everything outside of that area, they have no interconnection agreements.
Meaning that you can't get a long-distance carrier in that area.
You can get a long-distance carrier. They have contracts for that. However, now you're going through a third party, and so there's additional fees.
Costs, yeah.
So you're used to paying, you know, $120 to $200 a month for your phone bill, plus your local call, which is another $26 to $35 a month through this ILEC or mm-hmm. or incumbent local exchange carrier.
Okay, so what you're talking there, and in this area, what's the phone company here, Sean? Who do we pay every month? Pac Bell?
SBC Global.
SBC Global. SBC Global also happens to provide DSL, which
yep.
is, of course, confusing because, of course, DSL goes through phone lines, and that's the same company. So the SBC Global in Santa Cruz County, I believe in Monterey County as well.
Yeah.
Pretty much, I don't know what's going on in Big Sur and stuff. We have a large coverage area, the KOSP does, all up and down the coast of California. So in any case, that company you can kind of avoid as long as you've got another broadband provider.
There's certainly not a target market, Lyle.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of area with SBC or the Verizon area.
Yeah.
However, if you have if you're doing some long-distance calling, even in that area, or international calling,
mm-hmm.
let's say you've got a son or daughter in the military, you've got other family that's moved overseas.
Sure.
I have family in the Netherlands and in Crete,
mm-hmm.
and so with that, we have IP phones down there. One of my business partners moved down to Panama in another venture.
Uh-huh.
So he's got an IP phone down there. I have another one in Colombia. So now I call
a local
number. He actually has a U.S. number in Panama and in Mexico and in Crete. And we're able to call locally. He's able to call all the 50 United States.
Locally.
Locally.
All right,
now,
so given that Skype was just purchased by eBay, and Skype is free, and everybody who has a TCP/IP network has a computer sitting in front of them.
And you have to have a microphone and headphones.
Well, you don't even have to have headphones. I mean, my notebook works great. So I could go to Crete with Skype, make a free call, and not pay anything.
Quality of service is a big issue.
Okay, good.
My brother-in-law in Crete, we first started communicating via Skype, and it was frustrating.
Yeah.
And I've got some buddies in Hawaii, and we were communicating via Skype, and then we'd get three of us on, one from Hawaii, one from Brazil, one from Southern California.
And it's worse than a cell phone.
Oh, my God, it was terrible.
So basically, now it operates like a phone. When I picked up your desk phone in the other room on our webmaster's desk, it's a normal phone. I mean, there's nothing different in that regard to it. But I have a question that seems to be a little disturbing. Your phone number, which is we're not going to give it on air, but your basic phone number, which operates at your desk in the Central Valley, when somebody calls it, they know where you are. If you were to pick it up and dial 911, it would get connected to the local dispatch area, and they would say, oh, he's located at this address, and they drive a truck out there, even if you're having a heart attack and can't speak. So now, though, since they don't know where you are, you're somewhere else.
That's a great question. It is one of the things that is really going on. Now, the FCC put out a regulation that said all VoIP providers must be 911 compliant by November 17th. And then they gave us an extension. Our company, we're ready. We're 911 compliant. However, the PSAPs themselves, that's the public safety access points, are not yet ready to take on the challenge.
To take on the challenge of saying, this phone now is here.
That's a whole other issue.
Okay.
That comes down to a hardware issue. And I think what we're going to see is an integration. I don't want to get into that too much because there's some great opportunities here for some patents.
Okay, yeah. So you want to avoid the topic so that...
It is a problem. You're right, Lyle. It's a problem. Now what
wish there was a solution.
What we do is we encourage people when, let's say, they relocate their office or they pick up their home unit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's use a residential person. They're upgrading. They've started in a small home. They're now moving into their next home, or they're relocating because their job changed. So they're picking up. They're moving across the country. All they do is they call, in our situation, they call our company. They say, here's my new address, and that's entered. It's now back into the 911 PSAPs.
You can send us questions and comments right now by going to geekspeak.org and filling out the Contact Us form. We'll get that through email and be able to answer calls or answer your questions. We're not taking calls today because we don't have a phone answer. But if you'd like to volunteer for KOSP on a regular basis and answer the phones for the geeks, you're welcome to do so by calling us. Actually, by emailing us, go to geekspeak.org and click on Contact Us. And, of course, right now, we will take your questions and comments through email. You're listening to GeekSpeak. My name is Lyle Troxell. If you have questions or comments, go to geekspeak.org and fill out the form. This program is supported by a grant from Santa Cruz Electronics, offering an extensive selection of computer and electronic parts, as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 Soquel Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com.
This is Ira Glass of This American Life. And one advantage of being a weekly program is that we can let people tell their stories at much greater length than can ever happen on the daily news shows. Like this woman, whose house was flooded when the levees broke in New Orleans.
The next morning, I was able to go back to the house because I wanted to pick up my degrees. I earned them. And frankly, I was looking for a carton of cigarettes that I knew was in that house somewhere.
Stories of what it really feels like to be there. This American Life from Public Radio International.
Catch This American Life Sunday at 10 a.m. on Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP.
This program is supported by a grant from Cruise.io, providing local and nationwide internet services, including DSL 6.0, spam filters, and virus protection. Information about Cruise.io membership is available online at cruise.io.com or by calling 459-6301.
International peacemaker Marshall Rosenberg will present a public lecture on nonviolent communication on October 19th and 20th at Holy Cross Community Hall in Santa Cruz. Information is at 459-6919.
Thanks, True.
You're welcome. You know, I've actually heard of that guy, and he's got fantastic stuff.
Cool.
I didn't know this. I'm going to go see him.
Community Alliance with Family Farmers provided support for this program. Buying fresh and local produce from farmers markets, CSAs, retailers, and restaurants supports the local economy. Buy fresh, buy local campaign at 761-8507 or online at caff.org. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP. You're listening to Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. The geeks this morning are Drew Meyer and Sean Cleveland. Our guest is Greg Troxell from Net Velocities. You're welcome to learn more about his IP services, his voiceover IP services. Go to geekspeak.org to get to the URL for that. We're taking your emails today, not your calls. The email address, if you will, go to geekspeak.org with a web browser and fill out that form. That'll come to our email boxes, and we'll answer your questions. And, Sean, do we have anybody yet pending?
Yeah, we do. Gabe from Pacific Grove. He wants to know how much hardware support is needed for voiceover IP software. So here's what he wants to know. Instead of buying a BlackBerry, would it not be nice to buy a memory stick for your Clia or a memory card module for your Palm with Wi-Fi that would allow you to make phone calls while using Wi-Fi?
Great question. And I have the same question. Since you're a wireless broadband provider, is there a wireless VoIP phone that I can just carry around like what he's suggesting to do?
Two parts.
Okay, terrific. We're going into with this question, an older technology. Technology moves so fast, old is all relative, isn't it?
Right.
But, okay, an old technology called WISIP, which is W-I-S-I-P. Again, that would be wireless and then session-initiated protocol, VoIP, phone. So that phone exists today. It is not cellular. It does not function on GSM. We just had my vice president just went off to Switzerland on a little vacation. He took along a WISIP phone. While he was there, he was in the cafes. He's on a WISIP phone that's into our network, and he was making calls back to the United States via the hotspots at those cafes.
And now, it was a handheld device.
Handheld device.
No kidding.
With an antenna and a battery.
Yeah.
Now,
wow.
But that device doesn't work in cell phones in this area.
It's not cellular.
Doesn't have anything to do with
cell phones. But basically, if you've got the connections and stuff, you go into your coffee shop that has wireless and your phone's working.
Correct. Or if you're a wireless company, or if in certain areas of like downtown San Jose or other places you have prevalent Wi-Fi that's available, that phone, if registered into that network, could then be automatically passed through. It would then be able to pass through and have conversation, roaming, if you will, throughout the town,
right,
or that wide area.
Well, it's interesting. I work at UCSC, and there we have ubiquitous. Well, not really ubiquitous. We have Wi-Fi, and at home we've got Wi-Fi. And until recently, cell phone coverage wasn't available at either of those locations. So I so wanted one of those devices because I didn't have cell phone coverage, but I had Wi-Fi coverage. So they make them, which is nice.
They make them, and we're talking with universities now in doing this just throughout the university, a whole Wi-Fi or ubiquitous coverage within that area. Actually, in our own coverage area, we're in the process of engineering a Wi-Fi, ubiquitous Wi-Fi, through three of our primary communities,
mm-hmm.
which then allows for, if you will, a $25 a month cell phone for
right.
my kid so that they don't ring up this enormous charge.
Right, right. And which is just, I mean, the coverage is free because...
Coverage is free.
It's a normal phone line. There's no, like, minute usage.
There's
kind of
no minute usage. Right. It is VOIP.
So what does this mean for the third world or developing nations that may skip the whole copper telephone line?
Well, it's funny.
Section,
when I first was getting into VOIP, I was sitting down at a conference with the president of Uganda Telecom.
Nice.
And they're dealing
good for
with
Uganda. They have a telephone company.
Yeah, they do. And you know, but only 50% of Uganda is covered with telephony.
With POTS.
With POTS.
And telephone system.
And that company, Uganda Telecom, holds 90% of the nation's telephony.
Uh-huh.
It's a state monopoly?
No, not a state monopoly. It's private, but it's a rural area, and it's very expensive to run wires and copper and MMDS and, you know.
No, no kidding.
So with that, what they're now able to do is between the uniband frequencies that are available, that would be the free access that's used amongst YSIP companies, wireless broadband providers, or through MMDS, they're able to set up rural and remote Wi-Fi or other fixed wireless broadband transmitters in an area, and then with that, able to bring in those technologies at a much lower rate.
Does that mean we're seeing better, cooler tech, if you will, in these areas? I mean, we have a great phone system in the U.S. There is copper everywhere. It's amazing. But at the same time, we're really behind on high bandwidth. We're really behind on cell phone coverage in some ways. Cell phone features, I should say. Are we seeing in the early adopting nation, or the late adopting nations, if you will, the skip of all that? Is that somehow better for them in the short term or long term?
Certainly from a financial investment, it is. There are a few companies here in our nation leading the way to what will be the second half of your question, the answer to that, and that is that they are developing now dual-platform cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys have heard about these or looked at them.
Do tell.
A dual-platform phone, a cell phone, is one that is going to have, if you take half of it, it functions on GSM.
Which is a cell phone coverage.
Cell phone coverage. And the other half of it is going to have a secondary system, which is 802.11.
Wi-Fi.
Nice. So it uses whatever makes the most sense.
That's right.
And hopefully easy to mix between.
Slick of these carriers. And it's actually being developed by the cell phone carriers. What they're doing is, you know how you always end up with this system busy now? You know, I mean,
because
there's so many people on it. Now what they're doing is they're going to offload as much traffic as they can into your DSL line, your Wi-Fi, while you're sitting here in your office at your home. And the phone is actually automatically going to reroute over to the Wi-Fi platform, the 802.11 platform.
And burn up your company's network.
And burn up your company's network or whatever Wi-Fi platform you're on, your home or whatever it means, so that the cell coverage is less, it's less dependent upon the bandwidth that's on the
cell. How long can we get that until we get those?
Ah, shoot. They actually said it was going to be in May of this year.
Right,
and
okay.
then they said December of this year. I think it's going to be probably August of next.
Soon.
God, that was crazy.
We're taking questions and comments through email only today. Go to geekspeak.org to send us messages. We got a question from Pacific Grove. Gabe, how much hardware support is needed for VoIP service?
That's the one we asked. But we didn't talk about the Palm.
We didn't talk about we talked about the second thing about the details about that, but I want to get from the original standpoint. He's talking about upgrading a BlackBerry and a Palm and all that. I think it's a little too early for that, if you will. But what happens if you
is
want
it too early for that?
Well, it is. We've played around with our own BlackBerries to see if we could pull in
merge the
web portals of all that kind of thing, and we're not having success in doing that ourselves.
So if you're in Pacific Grove with a broadband connection, what is the hardware requirements for using Voice over IP? Do you have to have a computer and all that? I mean, we had a phone in here. Are those expensive that just plug into a network?
Well, all you need is a device from somewhere which is an analog adapter. Okay,
okay.
It's switching from your analog over to the digital side.
And that's what that little box was, the size of a pack of cards that you had in there.
That's
little
right.
Gray,
the little
thing?
Deck of card size, that is just a phone adapter. So that's going to plug into your router, whatever type that is, and then it's going to plug in, has an AC, and it plugs into your regular house phone.
Right. So there was two adapters for a phone. You could just plug phones into it.
That's right. And two lines in that
two
adapter.
Lines. Okay. Two lines meaning that you could have two different phone numbers.
Two different phone numbers.
But you could also split one of those lines into multiple phones, like we normally run a house where there's multiple phones.
Yes, you could. You could put a splitter into it. The other thing, which, if you're completely wireless, uh-huh. that some of our more geeky customers have done, where they're our wireless customer as well as our VoIP customer, this is not authorized, they will actually detach the phone company from their box, and uh-huh. they have an internal loop with inside their house.
Right.
So when you detach that and then you plug in to one of the internal house
sure.
wiring, now that box is able to power...
How many phones?
Well, if they're powered by the phone line themselves without
yeah.
AC power, it can only take three. But if it has as many, then it can go to all of them.
Right.
Like, or a base unit of a cordless phone, you could then have all of your cordless phones going out to your barn or out to your
right,
garage
right.
or whatever.
Well, it's interesting. What you're talking about is there's a box connected to your house, and that's a phone box. If people have copper phones, and most
correct.
People do. And it's got two sides. One side is the phone company side, and you can't open that. It's got a special key.
Yep.
I mean, you could if you had a special key, but don't. And the second half is your connection. And that's that separation between those two boxes is what they charge you nuts amounts for if you have problems. If it's up to their box, it's there, it's free. If it's inside your house wiring or on that second box, if you will, it's your problem, and they're going to charge you a lot for it. So what happens when you get DSL kits, for example, is you get all these little filters, and you got to plug them all in. You can actually do that differently. All your phone lines go to that one box in your house, and you can like find
can
the
have
one
it split
that's
split out.
Yeah,
that's
find
what
the one
I
that's
do.
Your DSL, and
yeah.
find the other ones, and do the filters there. Then you only have to use one filter to filter out, and that's a much nicer to do it that way. What you're saying is you could also just disconnect all your phone lines in your house from the box that is the company's, and just put one of these devices in there and. Presto, your home is of IP and
100%.
No one would know except for when you lose power.
Except for when you lose power.
Or
now,
network.
Now, the same thing is true, speaking about power and VoIP. That's one of the big questions and marks other than the 911 issue.
Yeah.
And that is going to be true as well in fiber.
Yeah.
You know, fiber to the home, mm. now what they're doing is the telcos are actually selling to the developer the UPS. The
yeah.
developer is putting in the UPS, which is providing that power backup. The phone says we don't. The phone
right.
company says we don't touch the UPS. That's
right.
not our business.
So basically, what you're talking about is about battery backup power for your phone system if you've got a fiber to your house.
That's correct. Which then makes it indistinguishable from a VoIP platform, which also requires power.
Fascinating. So consider New Orleans and consider the power blackouts in the Northeast. If we the country forgets what a benefit it is to have copper telephone lines
right.
that work. No matter what,
right.
unless you
now,
cut them, right?
I heard you earlier talking about solar and this whole thing that you're doing for the gooder, the improvement of mankind and all that.
Well,
we have
it's geeky, though. Come on.
We have a customer on the back of a hill, on the top, and by bird's eye, this person 16 miles away from our furthest tower.
Wow.
Okay? And they have no power running to their trailer that sits on the top
of
the hill.
So they have no wires going to their
no
trailer.
No wires going to their
no
trailer.
No power.
It's an island.
Up. They are way out in the middle of nowhere. Okay, this person happens to be a national distributor of chemical products to soap industry.
Okay, so
okay? Bizarre kind of industry themselves.
So well, at least so he's clean.
He's,
you know, he's way up there.
Yeah, he's clean. Yeah,
squeaky clean.
And with that, they run their whole house on generator and solar. And with that, they said, "Hey, can we get your internet?" I said,
right.
"Sure." So they signed up for a T1 service back in the middle of.
Nowhere.
Nowhere, right? With an 8-mile driveway that goes up to their house. Imagine paying the phone bill
right.
for that wire to go
yeah.
get trenched up there. Then they run their wireless broadband and their phone, now their VoIP, all on solar and this generator.
Very cool. So you feed them a really high bandwidth link via your IP wireless. Your
wireless static, fixed wireless
fixed
broadband,
wireless.
Yes.
And
nice. They wanted a T1 connection, so we gave them a T1 connection.
What's the bandwidth of that? I mean, I know
it's 1.5 meg.
That's fast. Very
wow.
cool. So you can do this. So, Drew, I think you should just get, snip the phone company's wires and go this way. Drew, what are you doing for home broadband? Are you doing DSL?
No, we have cable
uh-huh.
at our house.
So you could theoretically get rid of
sure.
Pac Bell.
Well, so my question is, you've seen the commercials on TV with Vonage. The woo-hoo. Everybody likes
Vonage. Yeah.
And so that gives me voice over IP with no hardware acquisition from you, if I'm not mistaken.
Well,
or is that
a
competitor?
Do need hardware. It is a competitor.
Okay.
You need hardware. You need
a
some
phone,
kind
a handset.
Of a phone. Well, you have your own home phone, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
But Vonage is selling you either a router or which.
Sure, a regular old router. Yeah.
We're using the same hardware.
We're using the same hardware, actually.
Oh.
But the communication that's behind it, or the mothership, if you will, is all different. So
mm-hmm.
then we get into a technology battle.
And price.
Mm-hmm. So priced the same, that's fine. And that we're going to find everybody in the VoIP market about at $25 a month
for
nationwide. You know,
and is that comparable to phone bill? I mean, this is nationwide. Do you have nationwide coverage for free and phone calls for free? Or what's
yep.
the nationwide? Okay, so
yep.
you're free calling across the nation, which is pretty common on cell phones now, even though they restrict you to a certain amount of minutes.
Right. That's
right.
So here's the other advantage for in your question of why my cell phone versus this. Well, that would come because now we're looking at, we don't have a limit on number of minutes.
So the hardware, which is the question earlier from Pacific Grove from Gabe, let's... Speaking.
How much support?
How much does it cost to get these little hardware devices? I mean, are they pretty inexpensive? It's kind of minuscule compared to monthly fees, or what are we talking here?
As
so
with
that
everything,
little tiny
there's the Geo model, and then there's the Nice model.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Linksys is certainly taking on the leading edge of reliability and the higher end side of things. And you're going to spend anywhere from for a router piece, $79-$80 for that piece.
But that's also a home router.
It's also your home router.
Okay.
So the router and the adapter for your home phone are now built into one unit.
And then you plug your normal phones into that.
Correct.
Okay. So that's comparable to a home router if you're buying a home router.
That's right.
So there's a bit of that. What about that little matchbox device that you showed
little
me?
Little matchbox size piece. It's a 3-inch square.
Yeah, 3-inch
basically.
Yeah.
And that is going to connect to your existing Wi-Fi router that you have,
right.
or 802.11 router, whatever that brand is.
Where you've already bought your router.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. now you're going to spend anywhere from the Geo models are going to run. Pardon me, I don't mean
what's
this,
the Geo model.
I just mean the economical.
Economical.
Model,
okay.
It's going to run on about $35 uh-huh. all the way up to $59.
Okay, so if you basically, it's not a stumbling block into getting into the VoIP. It's
no.
not. It's if you look at it over a year, it's not a big deal. Especially
right.
if you're doing a lot of calling to out of state or something like that, and it's costing you. Okay, so we got some questions from Bonnie Dune. Steve emails in, and you can email in too. Go to geekspeak.org, click on Contact Us. He's curious about the safety aspects of Wi-Fi based handset as the transmitter is going all the time. And I believe that's the cell phone, wireless cell phone thing that like your boss has and is off somewhere else, where it's using wireless Wi-Fi to do its connection and is using voice over IP. What's the safety features? You know? I don't know.
Lyle, what do you mean safety features?
Meaning you've got a transmitter right next to your head.
Oh, no. Gain Bramage.
Dismiss it. Yes.
Yeah,
not a concern.
It's all fine. That's already been answered. Fujitsu, these other companies that are developing these Wi-SIP phones.
Yeah.
They've already had to meet the FCC codes.
And basically, the codes are in place to make sure that not enough power is going through the handset. And you can kind of tell that, depending on how hot it is, that's how much power it's using. And the more we go on with cell phones and Wi-Fi devices, the less power they use, the better the antennas, the better the pickup device, the analog tuners, if you will, inside the antenna
yes.
hardware gets, the less power, the safer. I mean, that's how it works.
And I'm no wireless engineer, but if it strikes me that if I'm on a Wi-Fi network, the power has to be a lot lower because it's a much smaller area. Then compared to my cell phone, just trying to transmit to the tower. But I don't know if there's any science behind that.
That's
just a guess.
Well, there is true. There's a power amperage dealing with both the receiver as well as the transmitter.
Mm.
So, or the transceivers, that function there. You can, like in your laptops, when you have a hard time, you can buy a USB booster, right? That's a little booster antenna that, boosts up the power there. That's fine while it's sitting on your laptop, but you don't want that kind of booster on your ear.
Right.
So then you need to make sure that your Wi-Fi transmitters that are in your... When you're in your house, there's no problem. When you're in a city, when we talk about ubiquitous coverage mm-hmm. over a campus or over a city, well, then those transmitters need to have enough. Again, they already meet FCC regulations.
Steve,
so
I think Steve has a kind of geekier question with respect to this email. He goes on to say, unlike GSM, because GSM sits there and is dormant while the transmitter goes out. It kind of registers, if you will, and then is dormant. And Wi-Fi, you have to keep a connection all the time when you're not dealing with a phone call. But I don't think that's actually accurate. I mean, even with GSM, the phone has to tell the location it's at, I am here, please call me here. And it can't, and has to do that, has to refresh that pretty, you know, to some degree regularly, so that the server, if you will, knows that that phone exists. It's not like every wireless tower in the nation handles, you know, says, are you out there, every time a phone call happens. So there is communication going on with a cell phone, just like there is Wi-Fi.
Yes, there is.
And I'm assuming these portable handhelds, that connection to the Wi-Fi station, they're going to be pretty smart about it. They're not going to try to connect something that's too far away. I mean, they're going to know a little bit about it.
They are searching for the open connection as well.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. So you're, I'm not really concerned about it being a health problem at all, which is what his concern is. A battery drain, maybe, and that's probably one of those challenges they've got to deal with in using Wi-Fi. So we got a lot of calls.
Wow. So
We're geeking out hard here, man.
Maybe take a deep breath. Well, and Lee from Amsterdam's written in, and he said he has a great point about the router hardware. The Sviasoft, we've mentioned Sviasoft before, which is a company out of Sweden that makes firmware for your typical off-the-shelf Linksys router that upgrades it and adds a bunch of new features.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the cool features that would be that could be available, I don't know if Sviasoft has this, is a firmware upgrade for your existing router that lets it support voice over IP.
Well, it doesn't have a phone line connection. It doesn't have the same...
But if you had it be the router for your voice over IP handset that you bought and put in your wireless network at home, now suddenly you can get out and it becomes your provider.
Okay, but this is the thing is, if you've got a wireless headset voice over IP device, it doesn't need to know anything about it. It's got everything it needs for voice over IP in there. It just needs an internet connection.
That's right.
Just like that desk phone. You don't
just
need to modify
it.
Why can't you make
out
it your PBX, to use the term?
It is kind of its own PBX, if you will.
Well, I don't know. I mean...
Well, Drew, you started this with.
I know.
let's not get technical.
Let's cool it off, and now I get worse.
Well, Drew, exactly what he's talking about is, yeah. I mean, it's going to take a geek. The geek's going to pop open the Linksys, whatever this router is that you've got out there in Amsterdam. You're gonna slip in your own little. If you want to use your home unit, let's not call it a wireless router. You're going to slip in your own little jacks to the power. You're then going to connect that up to a chip that is going to be able to communicate, convert analog digital. That's that little card box, that matchbox that we looked at earlier.
Wow. Right, right. Okay, so we're talking about voice over IP. The guest today is Greg Troxell. He's the CEO of NetVelocity.net. If you want to look it up, you can go to geekspeak.org to find the page. Basically providing voice over IP like other companies are doing. You take a piece of hardware and you put it in your home broadband network, and then you plug your phones into that, your normal existing phones into that, or you can get a special phone that actually has a little more features to it that allows you to a lot more easy transport, if you will, rather than carrying this extra little box and a phone. Pretty cool features. All about voice over IP is the show today, yeah. And we're taking only emails. We're getting inundated. It looks like Drew and Sean, you're getting slammed with questions.
I'm amazed how many people are following us this far into the hour. I mean, geez.
Well, of course, you get hooked in, man. This is a public radio station. We're talking smart here. So
it's cool stuff. How realistic is any of this? I mean, we love it because we're trying to be at least a little bit up on what the bleeding edge is. Mm-hmm. But is this relevant to most of our audience?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely relevant. What we're going to see is a shift across at least the United States, and I know Amsterdam and Netherlands are really hot on the VoIP. Italy's hot on VoIP. What's happening is that the telcos are moving even themselves over to that industry. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a long time, though, before you get SBC calling you or any other telco. I don't mean to pick on them. Calling you and saying, hey, you know what? We'd like to save you $50 a month. Would you like to sign up for our VoIP service? So what's going to happen right now is all of these other companies are going to be stepping into the market.
Yep, right.
It's going to be they're going to use it as a customer retention process.
You know, Lee from Amsterdam, it's just like our foreign geek. He sent an email. He discovered VIOPBuster.com via SkypeJournal RSS feed. And with an account and a €1 deposit, which he says is still there, a user can make unlimited calls from PC to PSTN phones, and he does it to California all the time.
Right.
For free.
This is one of those things where they're trying to collect customers.
Skype out.
Yeah. It's basically and this has been going on. I used to work for a company called JFax, which is now J2 Global Connect.
Yeah.
And when I worked for them, we were launching out that. It was mostly incoming calls, but we were putting a whole bunch of
computers in different locations. You need to be on a computer to make that call.
Yeah, and it's not like a phone. I mean,
and what we're talking about is taking an actual phone
right.
and taking it with you.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's so true about this technology. It happens all the time where I don't want to pop up my laptop and do all this stuff. I want to pick up a phone. I just want to pick up a phone and be able to talk to my grandma. You know, I don't want to have to deal with this whole technology, headset, microphone. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
You want a simple device. And
I'm just imagining you're in some metropolitan city. You walk into a coffee shop with wireless connectivity, and you pull out your Wi-Fi phone, right, and check your messages, and you make your calls.
Yeah. Right. Wow. Or maybe a year from now, your Verizon phone is going to be this dual-platform phone.
Right. Which is going to look almost transparent to you, but at least save you maybe money and not be as much cell phone usage.
Now, what do the phone carriers think of this technology?
Well, in part, they like it. On the other side, it's really frustrating for them. I had an offer from a phone company to have me buy out their phone company. And I had to look at it, and I said, why would I buy? I mean, yeah, you've got a lot of customers, but why would I buy out your phone? You've got all this antiquated stuff. Why do I want that?
Right.
When I've got everything that I need, all I need to do is distribute broadband.
What about small businesses? Like KOSP here, for example, has, 15 employees, and there's a bunch of phones, and there's copper all over the room. There's also Ethernet all over the space.
Lyle, right? You know I'm a little bit of an entrepreneur, and I love starting up new things. I get bored real quick. And so what I like about the hosted PBX solution for a small business is it's 100% scalable.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find a VoIP provider in your area or whatever you trust that has a hosted PBX solution, that means that you can start your company today with one phone, you can add three employees, or you can fire five of them and turn off those lines.
I don't think you could fire five if you only have four.
Well, but as a mathematical error there.
And
you can scale. I can grow from one location in my home office, and I can pick up when I need to hire those three employees and go open up an office, take on three new lines. All of us have a phone line. I'll have lower communication costs with the VoIP, and it's again 100% scalable.
Right.
It's not like an IP PBX, which also has the limitations of physical.
Right. You have to buy cards to upgrade it. You have to sometimes buy remote boxes in it. It's basically small phone companies for businesses are really big investments, and it's a major problem.
Yeah.
I remember when the station here got changed over to the current system. It was a big investment. It's a lot of wiring. There's a lot of work to be done. So this is kind of saying, look, you just do your Ethernet, and the rest will be just plug and play.
Exactly. And the nice thing is, from a standpoint of wiring your office, now you're just running Cat 5.
Right.
So you're not running the RJ11 phone wire any longer.
Now, I want to say one other thing about the service, and I don't know how much we've touched on it, but we should really emphasize that if you did want to switch over to voice over IP, you can keep your phone number. That's a new reg. Oh, it's sometimes you can.
It depends on the carrier.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we allow that, and it's available in the United States about 92% of the time.
Okay. Well, how about SBC Global?
The other 8%, SBC is no problem.
Okay,
Verizon,
so basically,
no problem.
SBC and Verizon, you've got them home, and you want to stop paying them for your telephone service, you can get something like what you're offering at Velocities. There's other competitors out there, and your phone number gets transferred, and now you just have to have broadband connection.
Bingo.
Pretty cool. All right, any closing remarks you want to say? We are running out of time. I don't know if we're going to get to any other calls, but...
Leave it to a question if somebody has it.
Yeah, okay.
So
any other questions? Go for it. Quick.
Should I buy stock in Cisco since they're the leading IP company out there and all this is running over TCP/IP networks?
What do you think of Cisco?
Cisco's always been a leader.
Yeah, definitely. Well, what do you think about the broadband stuff that Linksys is providing? Are they the leader right now in voice over IP hardware?
Linksys is certainly is taking the lead in terms of the hardware that is allowing the conversion for the average home user.
Yes. All right. I read the other day that over 50% of the U.S. now has broadband. So
we did that news last week.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. This is the market to be in.
GeekSpeak is proudly sponsored by Business with Pleasure, a full-service business center in Felton offering color printing, design, computer rentals, delivered office supplies, shipping via FedEx, UPS, DHL, and more. Details at businesswithpleasure.com. Today's show was all about voice over IP, VoIP, the newest in telephone services, possibly replacing your local telephone provider for your phone. The guest, Greg Troxell, my cousin, joined us. And Greg, thank you for driving out to be here in the studio with us.
Thanks, Lyle.
You can learn more about his company, NetVelocity, by going to geekspeak.org and click on today's show, which we podcast as well if you'd like to download it later for review and sharing. GeekSpeak is a registered service mark of Online Tonight with David Lawrence and is used by permission. The Geeks this morning, Drew Meyer, which was his last day for a while, and Sean Cleveland. My name's Lyle Troxell. This program is supported by a grant from Santa Cruz Electronics, offering an extensive selection of computer and electronic parts as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 SoCal Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com. Next week on GeekSpeak, I believe we're doing hardware. We're doing storage devices. Sean, are you still setting that show
what?
Up? Maybe we're...
Yeah, I think we're trying to get Seagate. We're trying to get Seagate on the show.
Great. Hopefully we'll have that. Yeah. Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP Santa Cruz, KBDH San Otto, on the web at kusp.org. Coming up next is Open Road with Matt Pierce. Is that true? Is Matt here?
No.
Rob, you doing it? All right. Rob is going to be here for Open Road today. And at 1 p.m., Two Steps in the Blues with Charlie Ling. We're here every week on Geek Speak. The geeks are here. We would love a volunteer to come in and answer our phones and be with us in the morning on Fridays. If you're interested in doing that, go ahead and go to geekspeak.org and click on Contact Us, fill out an email, and I'd love to welcome you to the geek family. If you're a geek in town and want to promote some of the geekiness that is involved in your life, if you have a business or something of that nature, please also go to geekspeak.org and contact us. I'd love to reach out to new geek guests, new people that want to talk about technology. On Geek Speak, Fridays at 10. For KUSP and Geek Speak, I'm Lyle Troxell.